This is the Oanda Podcast.
You're listening to the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, talking with Oanda senior market analysts across the world. And today we're joined by Craig Earlham in London. Good morning, Craig. How are you doing?
I'm very good, mate. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Before we talk about some of the big news stories around today, how are the markets as we stand at the moment?
Well, it's all looking a little bit flat, to be honest, this week. Last week was such a bumper start to the month. We had the Federal Reserve Wednesday, the Bank of England Thursday, OPEC Plus Thursday, the jobs report on Friday. We almost kind of had a month's worth of action in the first week. So it's calmed down a lot. It's a lot thinner on the data calendar. You're just picking out small things. Well, not always small things, like today, the US inflation, for example. But compared to the activity that we saw last week, it's looking a little bit slim. Earnings season is also starting to draw to a close, so that's been a big boom, big boost for these equity markets over the course of the last month. So we're losing that kind of kick. It's all just looking a little bit flat at the moment. I'm sure it's only temporary. I think central banks are still going to be very front and centre now over the course of the next couple of months. But I think this week maybe we're just seeing a bit of a calm.
Okay, yesterday we saw Bitcoin reach a new record high, breaking through the $68,000 barrier. Analysts predicting that it'll rise further in the coming weeks. And we've seen other cryptocurrencies also rise to record highs. Ethereum soared to nearly $5,000, for instance.
Bargain.
Absolutely. If only we'd bought those when they were a lot lower. Are you in agreement that you think that Bitcoin will rise even further over the next few weeks?
It's hard to not see it, just because while you can be skeptical about what its actual application is going to be in the future, whether it's going to be fully adopted or whether it's, well, there's lots of reasons, I guess, why people are quite skeptical. Where you can share these views, one thing you can't ignore is momentum, and there's so much momentum in the space right now that it seems like with every passing week or month, you're hearing new names and new companies being linked to it, adopting it so that people can trade on it or can buy and sell it easily, like with PayPal, which we saw months ago, or whether it's Elon Musk doing wild things himself, which we know he's prone to do, and we'll come back to that later, whether that's using Tesla money or talking about his own holdings, etc. This has got the crypto community quite excited. Interestingly, yesterday we did hear from CEO of Apple, Tim Cook, who said that there was no desire to invest Apple cash into cryptos, but he did have a personal holding of his own. And again, I thought that would have given the markets a bit of a bump, especially at these record levels, but it didn't seem to have much of an impact. But it is just another story that kind of builds momentum in the broader sense within the space. And it just doesn't look like that momentum is going anywhere at this point in time. It also doesn't really give us any insight into what Bitcoin's supposed future is. So it's very difficult, but like I say, it's a momentum story, and one thing that Bitcoin certainly has, it's momentum.
Indeed, you mentioned Elon Musk. Of course, he's a bit of a fan of tweeting regarding Bitcoin, and has affected price on many occasions. Well, it's the shoe is on the other foot at the moment for Mr. Musk, because he's lost more than $50 billion in 2 days following that Twitter poll asking whether he should sell 10% of his Tesla shares. Now, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index, that is the biggest 2-day decline ever recorded. So perhaps he should be a bit more careful in future as to what he tweets.
I don't think you'll often hear Elon Musk and careful in the same sentence, if I'm perfectly honest. He's very much out there. He doesn't seem to have much regard in terms of what this does to his own personal fortune. I think I guess when you're that wealthy, you don't need that much regard for it. He's never seemed to be the type of guy who's driven by money. And this poll will have upset a few Tesla shareholders yesterday, I'm sure. The poll's asking if he should sell 10% of his shares to effectively pay this billionaire's proposed tax in the US. And the interesting thing saying he'll abide by the results, whether that's actually the case or not, we will see. But obviously that's knocked the share price quite considerably. And the fact that it came a day after his brother sold a large stake of his own, which equated to around $109 million worth, if I'm not mistaken, I think that just kind of added to the nervousness around the Tesla stock. But now it's fallen just under 20% in the course of a few days. While it's concerning to see people at such senior levels selling such large amounts of stock, I do wonder whether we are going to see people starting to potentially sense a bit of a bargain here, and whether we will see that price being supported relatively soon, just because it's fallen so far. There is obviously going to be nervousness around whether he actually follows through on what he's saying, and that could potentially weigh further. But I guess we'll see if this gets tested, because, like I say, it's not so often that you see share prices fall 20%, and when you're talking about a share of a company whose market cap is greater than $1 trillion, then I think that's always going to attract some attention.
Let's switch to commodities now, Craig, and the latest on gold and oil. Where do we stand?
So gold is a little bit off today, but it's really interesting. It's been very it's been caught in the crosswinds, really, of what central banks have been doing recently. A couple of weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, we saw it kind of break lower from this rising trend that it was within. And this came as we were starting to see rate hike expectations lift considerably across the board. We were seeing expectations for 3 or 4 rate hikes next year from the Bank of England, a couple from the Federal Reserve. And I think what we've seen since then has given gold a bit of a lift again. And I wouldn't be surprised if we continue to see this kind of choppy action, to be honest. So it broke lower on those initial repricing from interest rates in the markets being priced up. They've since been priced back again. And that's and when we look at some of the commentary we've had over the last week or so from various central banks, it's perhaps not too surprising. We had the RBA that abandoned their yield targeting on the 2024 bond, targeting 0.1%. That got broken. They didn't intervene in the markets to protect that just a few days before a meeting, and it surged quite considerably on the back of that. At the meeting, they announced that they had abandoned the target, giving almost the impression that it was just unsustainable, but then did continue to persevere with the message that they still don't expect to raise interest rates over the course of the next 3 years. So continuing to try and drive home that dovish message, even though they'd been almost forced into one action in the markets. Then we saw the Bank of Canada ended its QE program. Then the BOE on last Thursday, after warning from various policymakers in the run-up to this that the interest rates could rise, and forcing this repositioning in the markets, including from Governor Andrew Bailey, who is now being referred in a manner reminiscent of Mark Carney back in, I think, 2014, as the unreliable boyfriend. After days and weeks of suggesting that interest rates could rise, the Bank of England voted 7-2 against it, including Andrew Bailey voting the same way as the majority. So we've suddenly got these messages coming from central banks which are counterintuitive and have forced the markets one way and then forced them back again. So in forcing them back and paring back these interest rate expectations, gold has rallied higher once more. What's interesting is it rallied to 18, just shy of 18.33, a very specific level, but a level that on 3 or 4 occasions since July, the price has rallied to before rebounding straight back off again. And it seems that that's what we're seeing again. Now, we're still seeing it trade not far from those levels. When I say it's lower today, it's off by around 0.4% at around just shy of 18.25. So potentially still got momentum. Some interesting moves we've seen in gold. And today we've got the US inflation data. So let's see how that goes. If we see a strong inflation number, that could really take the wind out the sails of gold once more and see another failure of that 1833. If we see a slightly softer inflation number, giving the Fed a little bit more space, because the Fed's the last central bank that I didn't actually mention, just then the most important one at that. And while they did begin their tapering, they were very much trying to push back markets in terms of looking for interest rate expectations. They could only push them back so far. Jerome Powell didn't seem keen to talk about it, but then the dot plot will be released alongside the next meeting minutes, etc. So we won't have to wait long to get a view on what the central bank sees in terms of interest rates for next year and beyond. So that was the last one. But we'll get a US inflation data today. So that could be key in determining whether gold can finally break through that 1833. I imagine the release will have actually happened by the time many people do listen to this. So that's gold markets. Oil markets relatively flat on the day. Natural gas is off a little bit because we've started to see some evidence of Russian gas supply to Europe ramp up a little bit. Now, that doesn't solve the winter problem, but it does slightly alleviate it for now, and it suggests that there's not that this is more than words from Vladimir Putin a week or two ago when he suggested that they were ready to fill the European storage. Given that they are running low, which is what's caused this natural gas and energy crisis. So we've seen these pull back to kind of the lowest levels we've seen over the course of the last couple of months. My gut with this is what Russia's effectively doing here is showing that they have the ability to supply as much as Europe needs, but maybe just not the capability to do so, which again, maybe just another nudge towards Nord Stream 2. If you can get this online, then we can supply. No crisis averted. But they'll never say that because that kind of feeds into the allegations that's coming from various corners about what is happening here and about natural gas effectively being used as a weapon. So I guess what I'm saying is there's plenty going on in all corners of the markets. Maybe not equities this week, but in all corners of the markets, there's still plenty of action right now and ahead.
Okay, Craig, thanks very much for joining us this morning. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you.
This is the Oanda Podcast.